B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Tuesday during the football season. You know what that is, Maz?
Big Boy Tuesday.
The big boy himself, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Does bear a striking resemblance to a diner slash drive-in chain popular in the Midwest. They have them out here? They must have.
No.
I don't think so. No.
How do you even know what it is then?
Double bacon cheeseburgers for everybody today.
Bears a striking resemblance to the fella with the burgers that they used to put outside Bob's Big Boy.
That thing's an iconic, it's one of the iconic figures in all of fast food.
But you didn't have them out here.
Yeah, everyone knows.
So how do you know?
Big Boy.
Yeah, we know it. It tells you the power of the brand. Even in places it doesn't exist, people know about it.
This is why we call it Big Boy Tuesday. He joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He's got his chart. Still has not flipped for the clipboard, the $3 clipboard at Staples.
I've been busy. All
so right? He's just got his charts here ready to go from the game on Sunday. And I've been reading your coverage in the Boston Sports Journal the last couple days, Greg. And I'm interested in your thoughts on Antonio Brown on the field, what you saw from him on the field. And today, that led to an impassioned defense for another Patriots receiver who you basically said today, play me or trade me for this Patriots receiver. Why don't you give us that whole take?
On Dorsett? I mean, what do you want first?
I don't know if I could have set you up any better than I just did.
What do you
did.
Want first? You want Dorsett?
Sure.
Okay. So watching again on Sunday reinforced the notion that Philip Dorsett is just, he's stones for this team. Anything this team wants him to do, he does it. And he comes out, first of all, it's only a 7-0 game. The Patriots are on the verge of punting at 3rd and 17, and Brady throws this beautiful ball out. Dorsett makes this great route where the cornerback should have outside leverage. He gets over the top of it, makes a diving catch for 18 yards, keeps the chains moving. They keep moving the ball.
I'm sorry. I mentioned that play yesterday. It was the biggest play in the game.
Yep.
No one talked about.
Without question. It was the biggest play in the game.
It set up the blowout.
And then to start the second half, first play of the game against zone coverage, Brady just lays a ball out there in the middle of about 4 or 5 Dolphins. Dorsett catches the ball, ducks a little bit to avoid getting killed, but still makes the catch. And this is what this guy has done repeatedly, especially the last 2 seasons that he's been here. And last year, you know, he comes out, and I think he's the team's leading receiver. He has like 4 touchdowns in the first, I don't know, about 6 games. All of a sudden, they get Josh Gordon, boop, to the bench, plays like 4, 5, 10 snaps a game until Gordon all of a sudden goes MIA. And there's Philip Dorsett, comes in, makes a huge catch in the AFC Championship game, 29-yard touchdown, great in the Super Bowl, all that stuff. Comes to the offseason, he re-signs with the team. Gordon suspended. They don't know. Hogan's gone. They don't know what they have. Dorsett resigns. He's the only guy out on the field all training camp that Brady has any sort of rapport with. Out there all the time doing whatever they want. And, you know, what happens? Gordon comes back, so he gets shoved to wide receiver number 3. We got that. Then they bring in Antonio Brown, and now he's vanished again. And, you know, look, I'm sure Phil doesn't care, and the Patriots definitely aren't trading him because they can't trust Antonio Brown or Josh Gordon. But if I'm Philip Dorsett, for all I've done with this team, and he basically should be a captain on this team for how hard he's worked, how he's gone about his business. He is everything you want to root for with these Patriots.
Boy, you're and saying now my tune. I've been talking about this guy for over a year.
Yeah, and even last year. I mean, this is not a Johnny-come-lately thing. Last year I complained about, like, where's Philip Dorsett? Play him more. He's caught 25 out of 25 pass attempts.
Did you hear that stat? He put it in his column today. Do you know that the last 23 targets to Philip Dorsett, they are 23 for 23.
He's caught them
that's
all.
That's what it is.
Which is, I mean.
He's caught them all.
I don't know.
So here's my question.
Efficient?
Yeah, very. What's the hole? Why don't they, like, what's the negative?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess they think he doesn't, they obviously don't, they think they can do better in terms of getting off man coverage or getting open or whatever. They obviously think they can do better because they keep trying everybody who's borderline being banned from the league.
So what you're saying, though, I mean, let me just, I'm sorry I cut you off right there. That was building to be a good line. They keep signing everyone who's borderline banned from the league. The reason we're talking about it is because with Antonio Brown, he's the odd man out. Yes. Obviously, Edelman is the slot guy. Gordon's the boundary receiver. Mm-hmm. And it's really that third spot is what you're talking about. And that's Antonio Brown, and it squeezes out Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, and will he play when they go four wide? And they probably will with this group because they don't really have a tight end. I mean, Lacoste is okay, but we have seen a lot of, you know, 10 personnel with this team, which is one running back and four wide receivers. We've already seen that already. But you know, he's going to get shoved down the list again, and there he is. He's going to be in the back pocket again to save the Patriots' bacon when Brown and or Gordon blow up at some point and can't play anymore. And I just think that Philip Dorsett deserves better. That's all. You want to kill me for that? Kill me for that. But I think that this guy, he should be everything that you want in the Patriots. He should be playing. He deserves to be playing in this league. And now he's got to sit for another jerk or whatever. I just don't like it. And sorry, you want to kill me for it? Kill me for it. I don't care.
617-779-0985. Bedard also wrote, at this point, I'm kind of hoping, first you say you were in favor of them signing Antonio yep. Brown when it first came out.
You know, figuring that they would do a little bit of a background check on the guy and that he would check out okay. Guess not. I guess that was asking too much.
The big boy's angry today.
Big boy, right? So silly of me to expect that without stating it. You know, he thought the Patriots would have done a modicum of due diligence on the background of a troubled player before doing so. Silly me to expect that, he writes. But, says Bedard, at this point, I'm kind of hoping the NFL turns something up and puts Brown on ice for the rest of the season. It's obvious his whole being is more than just a childish diva. There is some serious deviant behavior, and while he may be able to tamp down that stuff for a while, it's going to crop up at some point. Even if the NFL doesn't find quite enough evidence to place Brown on the exempt list, the ice he'll be skating on from this point forward will be thinner than the Charles in March. Something is bound to give. This guy has the feel of a ticking time bomb. So you're saying at this point you're out on Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I'm kind of. And it's just, I mean, maybe it was seeing him on the field this weekend and, you know, the cheering and feeling great and motioning to the crowd. And, you know, and I heard Murray and other Patriots fans talking about this. Like, you just like. Like, ick. Like, really? I mean, the thing is, it's like, outside of Antonio Brown, you felt so good about this team. You felt, all right, this is a team that basically for the past 2-3 seasons, I've been growing with. You know, a lot, some of these guys are homegrown. Some of them have been brought in. We've watched them grow up. This is now the icing on the cake. We're going to go to 19-0. I can't wait to watch all these guys. And now Antonio Brown's here. And it just feels like the turd in the punch bowl.
Greg writes, so now I'm supposed to root for a guy who, at the least, either A, thinks it's okay to send those text messages to women, B, quit on his last two teams, C, respects other humans about as much as trash. Woo-hoo! Stairway to 7, he says, Murray.
Yeah, I should have made the t-shirts. I'm an idiot.
Stairway to 7, hashtag one big bag.
Bedard says none of it feels right. Even for the organization everyone else loves to hate, this seems like a Zakim bridge too far. So Bedard out on Antonio Brown. How about him on the field? What'd you think about game one?
Okay. I mean, you know, he was for the first time out, he was decent. I mean, you know, if he wants to play long-term in this offense, unless they totally cater to him.
Which they will.
Which they might. Some things are going to have to change. Like, I mean, what? Like even his first route, I don't even know what that was. I mean, normally on a Patriots slant, it's either, you know, 5-7 yard slant. He just slanted off the ball. But the bigger thing is, and this is where I'll look for how much is he buying in, what he does on running plays. Because other than like one play where he actually did run a route, and actually I think that was, that might have been a mix-up. I think that might have been the flea flicker where he started down the field where it's supposed to be the Rex Burkhead flea flicker.
Where Burkhead almost pitched it, yeah.
But every other time when it's been a handoff and he was on the field, he just sort of trots out. He doesn't even angle off the defender, which is the least that you're supposed to do. But the Patriots care about downfield blocking with their receivers, at least for everybody else, including Philip Dorsett. They care about that stuff. I can tell you Dorsett will do that for this team. But, I mean, he didn't do any of that stuff. Now, it's the first game. I'm not going to rip him for it. But if he starts to do those little things, then I believe he's buying in. And if he doesn't, and if they draw a line, they're going to be like, well, we're just not playing him on running downs. We're going to restrict his playing time. We're going to get Dorsett out there and all that stuff.
You're saying he just didn't even bother to try and block in the running
game? Not really. I mean, I'm not going to rip him and say he just didn't try, but it wasn't good. I mean, more is expected of a Patriots wide receiver than what he put out there. Either, you know, at least angle off the guy in case there is a run. Maybe it bounces outside of your side. Or run the route full go and take him out of the play.
Do you have any idea whether he bought in on those plays with Pittsburgh?
I don't. I would have to go back and watch.
Some tells me no.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Not the most disciplined group there.
When I saw when I saw that you mentioned this about him not, you know, digging in on running, I wasn't the least bit surprised. Are you surprised?
No, of course not. No.
No, this guy wants to catch the ball and that's it. He's there to do one thing in his mind. He'll never buy into this stuff and they'll excuse it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they're
that's the question. Will they excuse it or not? Because normally everybody's got to do their job. Do your job. That's his job. Is he going to do it? If not, they should sit him and put Dorsett out there.
Quickly, the off-field update there on Antonio Brown is the meeting with his accuser, his alleged accuser. Well, I know she's an accuser. The alleged victim in the civil suit lasted for 10 hours. Is there a read on that? 10 hours.
That's a lot.
I mean, so what is that? I mean, how do you read that? That she's got a lot to tell? Or they're putting in the 10 hours, so when they exonerate him, they say, we gave her a full vetting. And we went over the story three times, and she mixed things up every time. You know, who knows?
We're talking about the NFL and discipline. Can you read anything into anything? They just make it up as they go along. So who knows? It could be both. Could be everything.
So, yeah, I tell you what. Whenever there are lawyers involved, I don't read into anything. Because those things can take forever. You know, hold on. No comment.
I'm also under the impression.
The other thing is, did they send out for lunch? Like, you know, I don't know. The 10 hours feels like intense, but I don't read into it.
Well, with that, I'm under the impression they went through her phone with a fine-tooth comb. Every text message, every voicemail she may have from him. So, like, you know, if there's a recording, a voicemail or something like that, maybe a video she had on that phone, they're going over that, and that's where there's going to be a real problem for Brown.
Okay, you want to weigh in on anything Patriots-related, Antonio Brown or otherwise, it is up to you. It's a Big Boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal is in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He will talk to you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
We have a long way to go. We really do. You know, I feel like we haven't been working together for very long. Myself, you know, even Jules this year, Josh this year. Phillip's been out there a lot, but just everyone together. And Matt Lacoste was out most of training camp. So just trying to get everyone in a rhythm, get the run game going. We had some injuries at the offensive line, so guys fought through it, so it was a good, tough win.
That was Brady's answer when asked about Antonio Brown. I'm glad he tamped it down. Because again, Bedard, I spent a lot of time with this yesterday, that I just think that sort of cliched commentary that he hit the ground running and picked it right up and, you know, was just so off the mark. I mean, look, I think he's an amazing player, and he showed some of his just incredible physical ability in that game yesterday on Sunday. And take out all the garbage, I really like him as a receiver. I just think that commentary, they picked it right up, is crazy when he only played a third of the snaps. I mean, if he picked it right up, what do you think he would have been out of there? Would have been out there for more than 24 snaps?
It's a joke. I mean, cliched commentary around here. Are you surprised?
I just think everyone jumped to that sort of analysis when it just wasn't. He wasn't caught up.
No, he did exactly what we thought he would. He played, like, you know, a handful of packages, some designed routes. you know, maybe him and Brady made an adjustment there, you know, on the touchdown a little bit. But, you know, it wasn't anything out of the norm. I mean, his playing time, I mean, I don't – he was there for like 3 days. I don't expect him to play more. I think I predicted, you know, about 20 snaps, you know, 24 snaps. It was fine. It was a good start, but I wouldn't go any crazier than that.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I'm not saying I would expect him to play more. I'm right. Just the way some people talked about it was like, oh, he was like, he was just he hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the only play that you know stuck out to me was the touchdown, because again, there was some adjusting that went on that play. The others felt totally predetermined to me, and then the incompletions didn't look great. Brady threw the one under, threw the one in the end zone. The other two, they were not on the same page, or the other three, they weren't on the same page. They got work to do.
Okay. I will say he had a little issue, and I know it's been a topic of conversation with you guys about getting off press coverage. Now, he did show some good instincts doing sort of like a Z return route, and he got held once and drew a penalty, which was good. I do think, you know, another sign of maybe buy-in with this team is I think he can learn some stuff from Edelman and like Philip Dorsett in terms of how to get open against man press coverage, in terms of, you know, he needs to do a little bit more at the snap, more head faking and things like that. No, nobody is better in the NFL at that than Julian Edelman. And I think if Antonio Brown thinks he can learn things, that he's not above that, then I think he can be in even better here if he buys in fully. And you know, I think that's the question with him.
Okay, calls and thoughts for Greg Bedard, who thinks Philip Dorsett should ask for a trade if he gets boxed out of the Patriots offense here with Antonio Brown. I love the take. Tommy in the car. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Let me just, you know, preface this by saying that, you know, I love Philip Dorsett. I think he's been money for us. But, you know, all those things you described, Greg, you know, like the hardworking guy and, you know, makes big plays. Like, what's wrong with that being his role? Like, why can't he just continue to be that guy that keeps his head down, doesn't say anything, and when you need him in a big spot, he shows up? Like, he got slid down the depth chart. You know, the two guys that we didn't know were going to be there, but who are more talented, better receivers than him. Like, why does he all of a sudden now deserve more?
Well, I mean, I talked about it even last year. I thought he deserved more. I mean, so this isn't like, you know, a new thing. I think that, you know, that's fine and all, but I think, you know, circumstances have changed from when he signed with this team. And, you know, look, maybe he's probably happy being here and doing exactly what you said. But there are some people, and, you know, apply it to your own business and, you know, your own job. If somebody comes in and, you know, you're working your ass off, they bring somebody in they think is more talented, they end up busting out, and then you end up bailing out your job. I mean, at some point, the people are like, you know, what the hell? When am I going to get the respect that I deserve? I mean, what else do I need to do?
Well,
now, all 23 passes that out of the last 23, I've caught. Anytime Tom looks to me, I'm there. I'm Mr. Reliable. Why don't I play more? I mean, you know, just look at his snaps last year when Gordon came. I mean, it totally fell off. He went MIA, and we're all like, why isn't he playing more? I mean, if you're not going to throw it to Chris Hogan, put Dorsett out there. At least you know he's going to do something.
I was just going to say, there's also the matter of maximizing the asset. So it's not just all about treating him well. It's also about getting the most out of the player. If he's capable of more, ask him more.
23 out of 23. For a guy that's not just a little possession player, I mean, I think he's a good little possession player, but some of those balls are down the field. 23 of his last 23 targets. That is...
So can I just clarify something? Is that regular season?
That's regular season.
Okay. Because it was 1-for-5 in the Chiefs game, right? In the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. So that's right. I looked some of this up yesterday because I had heard similar numbers on Dorsett.
Yeah.
And that Kansas City game was 1-for-5. So it's just regular season.
Fine. Fair enough. Here's James in East Boston. Go ahead, James.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. I don't even want to say his name, but Gronkowski. I don't think there's any room for Gronkowski. I don't think there's any room for AB. I think they should have stuck with the team they had in game one. I don't want to hear anything about Gronkowski. These Patriots fans are living in the past. He's a bust, and I think it's disrespectful to the NFL and to the team for this guy to wait to see if they have a winning season for him to come back. I don't care about his off-field stuff that happened in the past. He's done with. We need to move forward. And
James, let me stop you. Has there been anything about Rob Gronkowski?
No, I don't know what he's holding on to. I think that latest stuff with Gronk pretty much stuck a fork in it.
I was going to say, what's the latest stuff? Is there something?
I'm going back to the CBD stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, that to me made it clear Gronk's not playing this
year. It's cooked.
Yeah, it's over. Gronk's not coming back. It's over. So, and honestly, I think that's the first call we've gotten about him since.
Right.
I think people have accepted the reality that Gronk is done.
At least this year. I think he has the right to change his mind, but I don't. It's not happening this year. I think that's pretty clear. Dan in Grafton on the Antonio Brown investigation by the NFL. Yes, Dan.
There have been a lot of cases in the past few years of things that the NFL has gotten involved with. I'm really curious, what was the first incident that caused the NFL to adjust the CBA and want to be able to have the power to investigate like these proceedings? Like, why are they playing the police?
Yeah, so it all...
They can do what they want, but why do they need to interview and cross-examine witnesses and things like that?
It started with Ray Rice and then Adrian Peterson. And how do you handle that when Ray Rice was never convicted, in fact, never even charged? So Ray Rice is never charged in any criminal, you know, I guess he entered a pretrial diversion program, like a plea. So he was never charged, never convicted, yet he obviously beat up his wife, his fiance at the time, and there was tape of it. So what does the league do? They can't just rely.
Knocked her out.
They just can't rely on law enforcement, because if law enforcement drops the charges, then what are they? What are they going to do? Say, well, no charges, nothing happened. So now they're in this middle ground of being their own police force, and it's bound to be a mess. And of course, it's a mess. So, you know, I mean, I sort of feel for them, because what are you supposed to do? I mean, a lot of people say, well, just if there's no police involvement, then if there's no criminal charges, then the league shouldn't do anything. That's what you're saying about Antonio Brown. So then Ray Rice should have played, you're saying. And Ben Roethlisberger was never charged. There was no criminal. He wasn't convicted criminally. He wasn't even charged criminally. So should he not have been suspended? How funny. I never heard from you on that. But now Antonio Brown should just play because there's no criminal. So it's like, what does the league do? I feel for them on this.
Sure. Look, again, they're in an area they shouldn't be in.
Well, so what should they do? I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. To me, the right thing to do is like.
I mean, if you just wait for the cops, then what? Ray Rice is in the league.
I'm not saying wait for the cops, but I also think that this is stuff that the league's not capable of handling. So there should be an independent body of some sort that makes these determinations.
Well, so that's fair, that the PA and the NFL should have a mediator.
Right, or, exactly.
Know, that they each pick a guy.
Exactly.
And it's not the league's guy. It's not the player's guy. It's a, you know, it's a vote. It's they mutually pick the guy and they mete out the justice. Right. That's obviously what should happen. And they may trade that away. They may get that in this next CBA for an extra game or two.
Oh, I think that's what's going to happen. The players are dumb enough to bargain that.
But whatever happens, you're going to bitch about it. That's pretty clear. Chris in Sudbury. Hi, Chris.
Hey, so I was wondering, do you think that maybe they're just trying to get more, just get Antonio Brown up to speed, Josh Gordon up to speed? Because Phil seems to already have the offense. Like, anytime they throw him the ball to him, he gets it. And it just seems like he's already fit in perfectly. And they're still kind of trying to get Josh and Antonio, you know, even like on the same page with Brady.
So what did you see from Gordon this last game?
It wasn't good. I mean, he looked thrown off by the whole Antonio Brown thing. I mean, I think AB, and look, this was going to happen. I mean, he just wasn't going to slip in and they were going to score 50 on offense. It probably wasn't going to happen that way with just 3 days of practice. But Gordon looked off, and I think it had an effect on him. I think it had an effect on the whole offense. I mean, we're talking about, you know, while the defense is holding them to three and out, they have, what, 7 points until late in the second quarter? It was, you know, it was still a game late in the third quarter, you know, when the defense is throwing blanks. I mean, it didn't look right on offense, but that's not unusual, you know, for this team in the circumstance that they're in. But in terms of, yeah, of course they're trying to get Gordon and AB up to speed, but when they do get up to speed, do you think those guys are coming off the field? I mean, very often. I mean, they might get a breather here and there, but AB wants the ball. Gordon wants the ball. Edelman wants the ball. I mean, look, last year when Gordon came up, these are the playing time percentages for Dorsett last year. 76, 90, 93, 70, 60. Then all of a sudden Gordon gets in, 3.8, 12.5, 6.6.
Jesus.
8.6, 3.2. He went to the bench. He disappeared.
Never saw the field.
You know,
wow, I mean, those are like those are drastic.
And I'm just saying, I feel he probably doesn't care. All right, he probably doesn't. But you know, it, just me in terms of watching this team and I'm watching him grow over the years, coming in, you know, right before the season opener a couple years ago, and slowly working his way up to the point where he's one of Brady's now trusted people, and Tom just is effusive in his praise of him, and now he's going to have to go to the bench if these guys don't mess up. I'm offended for Philip Dorsett.
I love it. The big boy's offended.
Watching him grow. Grandpa Bedard over here. Papa.
Three up, three down with Bedard right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks. He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, we've reviewed the film, we've consulted our charts, we've gone over the game multiple times, and when I say that, I mean Bedard has, because I'm not watching that pig of a game twice. Not even close.
I almost had to watch amazing? It three times, because the game film wasn't on last night.
Amazing.
It wasn't on until this morning. I'm like, I can't do this.
Amazing that in a 43-0 game, I had very little difficulty coming up with three downs.
That's the beauty of Mass.
Wow.
So here we go, three up, three studs, three duds from Patriots, Dolphins. Go ahead, Greg, number one star.
Jamie Collins. He was all over the place. He did a little bit of everything, pressuring the quarterback against the running game, interception for a touchdown. That, of course, was a gift, but still, you know, he's been great. And how about Belichick this week on the conference call about Jamie Collins? Jamie is a very special player. Like, what? You know, the guy you traded away? Like, I don't know. It's just it's weird. I don't know what's going on with Belichick.
Did you watch the post-game video that they put on their social media account? The first thing it shows is Bill going to Jamie Collins and saying, like, good game.
What is...
I'm telling
whatever.
You. See, I'm going to pull the sound.
So what is it?
So No.
But why are they kissing his ass?
Oh, I think Bill is just trying to, you know.
He wants him to buy in. He wants them all in for this year.
Yeah, make
19-0, baby. Everybody's all in. Kiss everybody's ass.
He's talking about the guy like he's the greatest linebacker who ever played.
Seriously.
It's unbelievable. He was also my number one star. Jamie Collins, that was an easy one.
Number two star, please.
Julian Edelman. You know, don't let the number 17 circus distract you. Edelman is just, he's the balls. He just always is.
Believe it or not, Adam Butler.
Ooh.
Adam Butler. I thought he was good in the early part of this game. You know, to me, the unheralded part of the Patriots' defense in this game was the defensive line. I thought they were pretty good.
The defensive line was awesome in this game.
Yeah, Butler batted down a ball. Like, he got to the quarterback a couple of times. Butler had a good game. I thought he was really good.
Okay, third stud.
Adam Butler.
Ah, see?
I had him for six impactful plays, knocked down a couple passes. And, you know, it's just now they have these guys like Wise is inactive for the game. Butler plays more. It's like, you know, they can mix and match these guys. And, you know, you could tell how this Dolphins offensive line was terrible. And they're unathletic. So they said, you know, hey, let's go with the athletic guy and get up the field.
Philip Dorsett. I went with him third again. He made the meaningful catches in the game. And he's like, you know what he's becoming to me? Amendola. Like that guy that you need in the pinch.
Just there when you need him.
Yeah, and you know what? That's not a horrible role in this offense, right? He's not a big guy. Like, so I don't know what the durability factor is there, but he's making big catches.
Okay, three duds, even 43-0. We have duds. Number one dud, Greg.
Marshall Newhouse. I mean, it's a little unfair. He just got here, but I mean,
no, go.
Look, the
go
guy gave up five total quarterback pressures, and you know, he generally had a tough time, and you know, he hasn't been, whether it's the Packers or, you know, and then I think he went to the Raiders. He just hasn't been a very good player in this league. So,
Steven Goskowski was the biggest goat in the game, and again, you know, look, I'm starting to feel bad because I actually like the guy. But, man, that thing the other day, that was bad.
Where are you coming up with the, you actually like the guy?
No, I mean
after 3 years of just doing nothing but bashing him.
No, he doesn't want to hear. Yeah, you don't want to hear blah. I actually like the guy.
Where does that come up after year three of the absolute Stephen Gostkowski bashing campaign?
No, he seems like a good guy. Is what I mean.
By the way, you know what did in Gostkowski the Maz kiss of death from last week? I think you had him on three up, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, he was very good in game
total
one.
Kiss of death.
Second
so
dud.
Blame me, Greg.
Second dud, Bedard.
Gostkowski. I mean, you know, he just...
But you like him personally. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Maz loves him personally, but...
Sniff around about an injury, Greg. I'm hearing things.
Yeah, I heard you... Didn't you say something about a hip?
Hip.
Yep.
Degenerative hip condition or something like that?
Something like that.
I bet you it's a labrum.
Maz, second dud.
I went with Josh Gordon. I thought he sucked in this game. I thought, some of it might have been Brady, some of it might have been, whatever, the Antonio Brown factor, et cetera. But Gordon, in the early, like, after week one, I sort of thought we were past the Josh Gordon brutal games, like the one in Tennessee. This one wasn't as many targets, but it was bad.
Third dud.
J.C. Jackson. He had a rough time in a couple... He got burned on a couple plays where the Dolphins just clanked off their faces.
Yeah,
other than that, he could have been giving up about 150 yards in passing in this game.
So, again, look, they had a big day. They won 43-0. But Antonio Brown, at the end, the chemistry with him and Brady was not good. And does he deserve to be one of the three downs? No. But if you're a Patriots fan, I'm doing it just to piss you off.
Love it.
Frankly. If you want to know the truth, you're pumping, talking about this guy like all of a sudden he's Jerry Rice out on the field. He's not. He's not even close, not yet. Maybe he will be when they get it going. But the three of the last four targets, it was not pretty.
Greg, are you concerned about the Patriots' offensive line and the condition thereof?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like I would expect Cannon to be back this week or next week. So if he's back, just plug in one spot, even if it's left tackle, I don't have a big issue with that. But it sounds like Wynn's going to be out, a couple, 4 weeks or whatever with this turf toe. You never know.
Four weeks with turf toe?
No, I mean, it can be.
I've never heard of forgive me, maybe I have and I just didn't pay attention to them. Left tackles and turf toe?
Yeah.
Offensive linemen and turf toe? That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Turf toe can be a bad one, though.
No, I get it.
That can linger.
But, I mean, usually
it's, yeah, I hear you, though. It's a skill guy.
It's speed players. Yeah. Guys who are running. It's rare that I've heard an offensive lineman get turf toe.
But as long as they only have to worry about one side, they can deal with that with chips and, tight ends and things like that. But if it's both tackles for an extended period of time, yeah, I'm a little bit worried.
They had no tackles and beat the Dolphins 43-0.
So the whole side, but is the schedule and the competition. I mean, so it's like Murray and Maz could be the tackles, and you're going to win these games. So, that's what makes it hard to this team hard to talk about because you're still going to win the games.
Seriously, Gresh at left tackle, big boy at right. Let's go. 43-0.
All right, three up, three down in the books. Your thoughts on anything we've just discussed, anything with the team, anything with Antonio Brown, the latest on the NFL's investigation, and your calls right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports. Felger Mavs, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, according to Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson, who must have really good sourcing in the NFL's discipline department, or because he gets a lot of this stuff. He writes on Yahoo Sports, in the first significant stride in what could be the most challenging personal conduct investigation in league history. Just stop right there. Is the Antonio Brown thing the most challenging?
No.
I mean, so why do you scoff? I mean, because it feels to me like that's not it either, but how come you're scoffing?
Because I think there were other cases that were, and I'm not saying this is insignificant, but at the moment, it is a civil case, and I know that some of the, but like the video of Ray Rice, you know, the Greg Hardy things, Adrian Peterson, you know, abusing a child, like those are pretty big deals. And they were at the beginning, too, that were complicated. So, and when I say at the beginning, meaning we had no frame of reference, nothing, which makes it infinitely more complicated to begin with, because you have nothing to base anything against. So I think that he's getting caught up in the Antonio Brown hype and, you know, the chaos that is Antonio Brown's life. But I think other cases that have come before were more complicated than this.
So anyway,
I don't know if you feel the same way or not.
Yeah, no, I think Rice and Peterson were far more complicated because there was no, I mean, they're still flying by the seat of their pants and seem to have no consistency, but there it was like they would really
literally
just,
like blindfolded.
Yeah, they had no real guidelines. So anyway, right, exactly. Anyway, he says it will be the most challenging personal conduct investigation in league history. The NFL spent Monday interviewing the woman who has accused Antonio Brown of rape and sexual assault in a recent civil lawsuit. A league source told Yahoo Sports that an NFL investigator traveled to interview Brittany Taylor, so she did not go to New York. The source declined to elaborate on where the league's interview with Taylor took place or whether it would be limited to Monday. However, the source said the NFL is expected to keep the lines of communication open with Taylor with the possibility of future interviews if the league's investigation warrants them. The NFL is also expected to seek an interview with Brown in the coming days, although it's unclear if that date has been set. The Midday Show said that the interview with Brittany Taylor took 10 hours, and that, you know, may not be all. It may not be all. So that's all we know now. I mean, do you think there's any chance, Greg, that something is gleaned this week that would put him on that exempt list starting this week?
I highly doubt it.
Me too.
I mean, most of the time the NFL moves pretty slowly with this stuff. I mean, maybe within 2 weeks or so they might have a better idea, but I assume, you know, if they're going to do their due diligence on this stuff, they talk to Brittany Taylor, then they're going to have to go to Antonio Brown at some point and get his side on all these things. So, you know, that could take time. I'm sure, you know, people will, you know, Rosenhaus and those people will drag their feet on that. So, you know, I would be more likely looking at a, you know, month timeline sort of thing, but that might even be optimistic.
I mean, unless she has some sort of clear-cut evidence.
Right.
Right. If there is some sort of audio, video, text message, email, whatever, something that you look at and go, whoa.
Well, Robinson writes, Taylor's attorneys haven't indicated what physical evidence, if any, exists to prove her claims. That will likely put a premium on other forms of evidence, such as digital communications or any recordings that may exist, as well as the potential existence of other witnesses. So she has to have something more than that was just written in that complaint the other day. Or else it's just a claim he said, she said, and the league can't really act on that, I don't think, even if she's believable. Because maybe he's believable, right? I mean, it's just so, does she have anything? So there's that. There's the update on Antonio Brown. All your Patriots thoughts with Bedard right here. Here's Brad and Sharon, on the Patriots defense. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, two things, Greg. One, is Karras snaps on the shotgun look like they're floating a little bit? And two, does this defense have a chance to be one of the best, especially the secondary? And I'll let you answer that and I'll listen to you.
Okay.
Sorry, I missed the question.
So the first one was Karras' snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, does this have a chance to be an all-time great Patriots defense?
His snaps, you know,
I didn't notice them.
Yeah, I didn't notice them. Like I said, last week, even on film, I was surprised I didn't notice them as much on the coach's film as I did live and on the TV during the game. I asked Ted about it on Friday, and I said, there been any changes? I said, you know, everybody wants to know about your snaps. And he's like, no, that, you know, hasn't been a real big topic of discussion. So, and it seemed like they were better, and it seemed like more in rhythm. And the defense, you know, absolutely. This has a chance to be an all-time great defense. I mean, they're outstanding. They're deep. You know, Bill, look, you know, traded off a couple of young cornerbacks. I mean, we have guys like Dietrich Wise, who's inactive. John Simon is barely needed in some of these games. I mean, there are a ton of guys. Bill has kept a bunch of guys who, I mean, most years he would move on from, but they're going all in with this group, and they are legit front to back.
Okay, so I think they're playing great. I think statistically they have a chance to be an all-time defense. And now that goes back to strength of schedule and the teams they're playing. I mean, for crying out loud, how many rookie slash backup quarterbacks are they going to get in the first 8 weeks of the season?
Luke Falk now in week three.
So, I mean, you can't tell me. There's nothing this group can do, sorry, that could tell me that the personnel, just the personnel, is better than it was in 03-04. You just, Warren, Wilfork, Seymour, McGinnis, Colvin, Brewski, Vrabel, Pfeiffer, Law, Samuel, Harrison. I mean, we're Hall of Famers in here. Well, you know, there's going to be 3-4 Hall of Famers in that group.
Yep.
Currently the Patriots have a single Hall of Famer on defense?
No.
Project it out.
Yeah, Gilmore, probably.
Possibly Gilmore. He stays on the same track.
He's got to put up some numbers now. I mean, for you to get Hall of Fame consideration, Ty Law led the league in interceptions and, like, you know.
They don't have it.
He gets a couple more first-team All-Pros like he did last year. He'll get in.
I mean, the guy stays on that track.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the guy that pops to my head, but again, I think, you know, if he wins another title and has a big year, Bennett. Like, maybe Bennett's got a shot.
Not a true Patriot, you know.
Right.
So, like, all I'm saying is the talent now is not what it was in 03-04. Now, how they're playing together and how they've been schemed and the end result may be as good. I'll grant you that. And that's all we care about. But just don't tell me this group is that group in 03-04. It's not. I'm sorry, it's not.
No, look, at the moment, the thing that strikes me about them more than anything is the way they play together. They're airtight.
Tremendous.
They're airtight. There's nowhere to go.
But I think that it was either 03 or 04, their average points against, it was something stupid like 17 points a game. And the league was different, so there's all these different, things that don't make it a perfect comparison. I just don't know what this group can do to show me that it's 03-04. Peter in New Hampshire on Antonio Brown. Go ahead, Peter.
My question is for Greg. Greg, you were very critical of the Patriots not doing a thorough enough background check on Antonio Brown. How do you justify that when you didn't even do that with one of your writers who made racist statements on Twitter?
Alleged. Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of difference between giving a $10 million contract and having some guy as a part-time draft guy. You know, maybe. You know, maybe there's a little difference.
He jumped off. I didn't drop him.
Yep.
What happened there? I never heard about this.
There was some guy who currently is still employed as a public school teacher in Massachusetts. Some guys allegedly dug up. There was a, what's his name? Loico. There was a guy who I had do draft season stuff for me. Some guys brought up pictures of, they said, deleted tweets that were racist in nature to Zolak. I never got confirmation from Twitter or anybody else that they were legitimate, but the guy hasn't worked for me since. And he's still employed as a public school teacher. So
okay, so that caller, I'm sorry the Patriots signed Antonio Brown, dude. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry he's a horrible human being. And the Patriots did not do due diligence on him. The owner didn't even know. So that's not my fault. That's not Greg's fault. But if you want to call up and yell at Greg for that because it makes you feel better, then go ahead. I hope you feel better because there's no use going through life miserable.
Boy, it doesn't take much to get their backup, does it?
Brutal. Let's do this now. Murray gives us a 90-second update. No commercials, more phones. We also have 10 questions, a whopper of a 10 questions coming for you next hour with the big boy, Greg Bedard. Again, no spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.